Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. And once again, I'm going to go ahead and give you the main point up front. Not so that you can check out, but so that you can see whether or not this is indeed the theme that runs through this. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. Now let's look together. This is God's word. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it, and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What is the main point? Jesus is the King. Now, look at these segments. The reason Jesus told this parable, beginning in verse 11, is because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Well, where is the kingdom of God? It's a matter of relationship with the King. And the King was right there. But the people did not relate to him in terms of who he really is and what he came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the previous verses. Now, even today, even in churches, that say the Bible's true, Jesus is Lord, there's very often an expectation that creeps into our mindset that says, he's the King, so he's supposed to do what we want. Does that seem backwards? He's the King, so we're supposed to do what he wants. But instead, Jesus, the King, is often seen, he was then, he is now, as the one who can make our kingdom come and our will be done. And so we pray not so much wanting his will, but wanting ours. Now, intellectually, I know, but viscerally, it seems like if God knows everything, he must certainly know what I know, and what I know is that this is what needs to happen. Well, that's what I believe I know. How many of you have ever known something that turned out to be wrong? I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it? It may be a song lyric that you thought you knew, and then it turns out, oh, that's not what they were saying. It may be some science fact that turns out not to be factual. Maybe any number of things. But the fact is, God knows everything. God knows how many hairs are on top of your head. God knows the future. God knows what's in your heart. So, they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And what that meant to them was Jesus is going to go in and he's going to overthrow the Roman forces, these foreign forces that are controlling our country. So Jesus told them a story. And the story is about a man of noble birth who went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. Before he left, he entrusted some of his resources to some of his servants. He didn't give all his resources to them, and he didn't give it to all the people who worked for him, but he gave some to some. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. And he said, put this money to work until I come back. What was so bad about the guy who was so scared? He was just, you have to understand, he may have had a tough childhood. And as a result, he had all kinds of reasons to feel insecure. And so he didn't follow the instructions. The master said, put this to work until I come back. And he didn't. And the reason he didn't is because he despised his master. Where do you get that? Well, it's what he says about him. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. That almost sounds like injustice. I'm afraid of you because I don't think you're fair, and so I'm not going to do what you say. That's a dumb strategy. And yet I encounter people fairly often who, because they don't think God is fair, they're not going to serve him. Now, is God fair? God is more than fair. He is merciful. He is just. In order for us to be saved, someone had to pay the penalty for our sin. He paid it himself. And he offers forgiveness and eternal life to all who trust him. But some folks feel like, oh, that's just, you're saying there's only one way to be saved? I just don't think that's fair. And people who refuse Jesus are not just making a mistake and missing out on their best life now. They are headed for hell. And if we're afraid to say that in this culture because it seems too exclusive, that's a failure on our part. Don't hide the treasure that's been entrusted to you because you're afraid you might mess it up. Do what you are told.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
His subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Next verse is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Look at what it says. He was made king, however, and returned home. Now, I want you to understand that. Jesus is not running for office. Jesus is not trying to win a popularity contest. He's already been made king. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he was made king, however, and returned. And when he came back, there was a judgment. And the judgment initially had to do with stewardship. What did you do with what was entrusted to you? But then at the end of that, and I can't just skip over this, he says, take the one from this guy who was completely disobedient. And he says, entrust it to the guy who already has 10. They said, he already has 10. The one who has been faithful is going to receive more. The one who is unfaithful is going to lose even what little they have. So, if the story ended there, we'd say, be a good steward. Story doesn't end there. Jesus says, then the master says, those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. If you refuse Jesus as Lord, You will be destroyed. It's a promise from Jesus. I liked the previous lessons where you were talking about his being merciful. He is merciful. Because if he weren't merciful, we'd all be destroyed. He offers eternal life to all who trust in him. But if you refuse to get in the lifeboat, if you refuse to take the exit on the plane that's going down, if you refuse to bow to Jesus as Lord, you will be destroyed. He promises. Then you come to the triumphal entry. And he is being lauded as the king. The crowds don't really understand what that means. But Jesus is Lord. And he knows what it means. And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Because he knew that they didn't understand. He knew that they didn't recognize that God was riding into town on the back of a colt. Because that's who Jesus is. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And so then he goes up to the temple and he begins clearing out the fact that the temple had been turned into a business. It was all about merchandise. Jesus says, no. My house will be a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of robbers. And the leaders who were making money off of the business of religion wanted to kill him. And the only thing holding them back was fear of the people. They would, by the end of the week, have their way. And Jesus would be nailed to a cross to die for us. There has always been fierce resistance to Jesus as Lord. I want to have you jot down some passages to look at, and I'll go through a few of them with you. First one is one that our students here at the ranch memorize. It's the second chapter that we have you memorize, students. Psalm 2. Next passage, Matthew 28, 18 and following. Third, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Next, Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41. And Acts 17, 29 through 31. Then Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And finally, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now let's talk about these briefly. Jesus is the king. What does Psalm 2 say? The kings of the earth are always trying to throw off his chains. We don't want to have to obey him. We don't want to be subject to him. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. And who is that king? He is the one who is the Son. And God has said, he is the ruler forever. If you understand that, you will understand history, you'll understand current events, and you'll understand the future. Right there in Psalm 2. Matthew 28, 18 and following, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Not, I've been given a promotion. No, he's not just moved up the ladder. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. We're not just told to go and tell people about him. We're told to disciple people. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we are his ambassadors. And as ambassadors, what are we doing? We're trying to negotiate a better trade agreement. No. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're his ambassadors as if God is making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. We are naturally his enemies at enmity against him. What does that look like? Psalm 2, saying, I don't want to have to obey. I want to do my own thing. But God has paid the penalty for our rebellion and is now offering terms of peace to all who will surrender. Surrender. Will you surrender to him? In Acts 2, 36 through 41, let me read this to you. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's Peter in Jerusalem. Now here's Paul in Athens. Acts 17, beginning in verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Do you hear that? Everybody everywhere is called to repent. The ignorance is no longer overlooked. God has provided proof that Jesus Christ is Lord by raising him from the dead. And anybody who wants to know, well, how do I know if this is true? Investigate. The evidence for the resurrection is absolutely overwhelming. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, became a servant, and was obedient even unto death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in Revelation, he's the King of Kings. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You and I need to recognize who we're dealing with. This is not just the merciful one. It is also the Lord who will judge, will answer for our stewardship of what has been entrusted to us. But those who refuse him as king will be destroyed. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Have you come? Are you trusting in him? Is he your only hope? Because you can rest secure if you're trusting in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.